Chapter 66. Sister Ariel stared at Kylar in a way that made it obvious she was using her talent, trying to figure him out again.
Eline will be here any minute. Is everything to your satisfaction? She asked.
He met her gaze. He wished he had the Kakari to bring to his eyes, but Durzo had told him that for his disguise as a highly talented man, who had only tapped his latent talent a few times in his life to hold, he couldn't use either Kakari or talent at all. So Kylar had left the Kakari covering retribution in Durzo's safe house. Of course, he could reform the disguise afterward, but it was always a question of whether he wanted to spend 8 hours fixing the disguise for a momentary use of talent. Kylar was starting to appreciate why Durzo had taught him so many mundane skills that had seemed like they were obsolete after he'd learned to tap his talent.
"It's fine," he said. The Chantry had given him an enormous sum of money to purchase this small manse on the shores of the lake. He and Vi were moving in today, and the house had room for Eline and Durzo as well, though Uli would continue to live in the Chantry. For the most part, Kylar wouldn't see Vi. She would rise early, go to the Chantry, and not return home until late. Later, when her rebellion began, she and the sisters who accompanied her would train in the manse's large walled yard. The manse, of course, had been selected for exactly that purpose.
"When did you learn this disguise?" Ariel asked. "It's remarkable. I wouldn't have believed such a thing was possible."
"Maybe you were just mistaken before."
"Oh, I've made mistakes, Kyle, and you figure prominently in them. But I have a perfect memory." She cleared her throat. "I want to apologize. Your predicament is more my fault than anyone's. I didn't know exactly what I was imposing on you, but I did manipulate Vi into doing it."
"And would you do anything differently if you could do it again?" Kylar asked. She paused.
"No."
"Then it's not really an apology, is it?"
Sister Ariel turned and left, leaving Kylar rubbing his temples.
"Hi,"
a voice said from the doorway. Kylar looked up and saw Eline. She was smiling shyly. A thrill ran through him. He was frozen, taking her in. First, he was surprised again at her beauty, the fine balance of her features, the glow of her skin. Then, his eyes were drawn to the uncertainty of her smile, the wide and fragile hope in her eyes, waiting to see how he would react to her. Even when she was scared, she lightened a room. A huge lump rose in his throat. Before he could think more, he crossed the room and pulled her into his arms. She hugged him fiercely, and he didn't let go. He held her tight, and all the world was well. He smelled her hair, her skin, and that forgotten scent that was the scent of home. He didn't know how long it lasted, but all too soon he came to himself. Eline felt the change instantly. She pulled back and took his face in her hands. She stared him straight in the eye, and when he averted his gaze, she pulled him back.
"Kylar, there's something you have to know," she said.
"Something I have to know?"
"Yes," she said. "I know about everything, and I love you."
Her grip on his face relaxed, and she trailed her fingers down his cheeks.
"I love you, Eline,"
Kylar said. He wondered what made her name sound different from all other names as it crossed his lips.
"It's more than just Vi. Both things,"
Eline said. Kylar stopped. "Both things, as in the both things he was thinking about,
Or was she forgiving him for something else he didn't even know he'd done? During their brief time as a happy family in Caernarvon, Kylar would have let it go, afraid of being hammered with something he hadn't seen coming. Now, he shook his head.
Honey, this is too important not to put into words.
Eline cocked her head fractionally, and he saw that she noticed the change in him, and respected him more for it. It was one of the things that made being with Eline so intense. She was so open. She knew immediately what she felt, and it was often overwhelming.
I know about the ringing. Vi and I have had a number of long and uncomfortable talks. I know that you sold your sword for those rings and that one of them was supposed to be for me.
I know about Jarl.
Tears came to her eyes, but she blinked them away.
I know that you've shared some intimate dreams with Vi because of the rings, and I know about the Chantry's deal, and why they want you to act like Vi's husband. I don't like it, but it's the right thing to do. Some things have happened that have changed me, Kylar.
She grimaced.
Kyle now, I guess. But let me just call you Kylar for another hour. Is that all right?
He nodded, that damn lump in his throat getting bigger.
I like it when you say my name.
She smiled, and suddenly tears welled up in her eyes. She fanned herself.
I told myself I wouldn't cry.
You'll let yourself cry later?
He suggested. She laughed suddenly, and it was better than music.
How do you know me so well?
She took a deep breath.
Kylar, in Caernarvon I had some very firm ideas about what sort of man you were supposed to be. There is something in you that is fierce and wild and strong, and it has fascinated me and frightened me. And when I got frightened, I tried to change you, and I didn't listen to you, and I didn't respect you the way you deserved. And I didn't trust you.
You had this crazy notion that I was going to take you to a far country and then leave you with nothing.
So I cloaked my fears in some really righteous-sounding horse shit.
Kylar's eyebrows shot up. Eline, swearing? She smirked, liking that she could shock him. But then her expression grew serious.
All of our fights about that stupid sword. You couldn't sell retribution because you are retribution. That girl in Caernarvon, that shopkeeper's girl, Capricia, you changed her life. And that was giving her what she deserved as much as it is when you kill bad men. The fact is, Kylar, I made my god look a lot like me instead of the other way around. I'm sorry. When I first found out that you'd sold that sword for me, I cried for myself because I'd lost you. But later, I cried for you, because I told you that you weren't good enough for me. Kylar, what you do scares me. I can understand it in my head, but it's still hard to fit my heart around. It's horrifying and terrifying for me.
It's horrifying and terrifying for me, too.
She looked him in the eye still.
When I was escaping from the slavers, there was a Caladoran who was going to kill a boy. I killed him. I killed the guilty so the innocent might live. And that's what you did with the Queen, Kylar. I hope I never have to kill again, but I won't think that I'm better than you because you have to.
What, slavers? Wait, you got kidnapped?
There's a story more important than that, Kylar. When you died, I had a dream. A very short man appeared to me. He was handsome, with amazing white hair and yellow eyes and burn scars.
Kylar froze again. It could only be the wolf.
He told me what immortality costs. Every time you die,
someone you love dies in your place. He told me that this time it's me. He said that the most he could do was hold off my death until spring.
I didn't know.
Kylar whispered.
Kylar?
I think the hardest thing for me in Caernarvon was that I realized you were important and I wasn't. Now instead of envying you or fighting against you, I'll fight with you. All the good you do for a lifetime will be possible because of me. I guess this is a kind of heroism that no one sees, but maybe that makes it better, not worse.
I love you, Eileen. I'm sorry I've been such a fool. I'm sorry I left.
Kylar, you love a girl with scars. I love a man with a purpose. Love comes at a price, but you're worth it.
How can you say that? I've killed you. I've stolen your life.
Kylar swallowed, but that damn lump wouldn't go away.
You can't steal what I freely give. I can live with eternity in mind because I know I'm going to be facing it soon. And I'm not going to waste a second of what I have left. Being here, with you, is exactly what I choose.
And then Kylar was crying. Out in the yard, he felt Vi fumble a weave in shock, then go back to it, trying to distract herself, trying to give Kylar privacy. Eileen hugged him, and in her arms he found such boundless warmth and unqualified acceptance that his tears redoubled. All his doubts and self-recriminations, self-loathing and fear, washed away. And when his tears stopped flowing, she cried. The tears were an ablution, and, holding her, Kylar felt clean for the first time in years. When the tears had passed, they looked at each other, tear-smudged face to tear-smudged face, and laughed, and held each other more. Then, slowly, they spun out their stories. Eileen told him of her trip to Cenaria and her capture by the slavers. Kylar told her of Aristarchos's attempt at killing him, about Jarl's death, about fighting the God King and being ringed, of his work to enthrone Logan, and his death on the wheel, his discovery of the cost of immortality, and his reunion with Durzo. Then she asked him about wet work, about his first kill, about his training, about the talent and what he saw when he looked at people through the Kakari. He told her the unvarnished truth, and she listened. She couldn't understand all of it, she said, but she listened without judgment, and she didn't draw back after hearing it. As he spoke, Kylar slowly relaxed. He felt the tension of secrecy and guilt, the fear of discovery and condemnation, all the tension that he had carried for so much of his life that it was simply part and parcel of how he experienced life, begin to unwind. In Eileen, he found rest. For the first time, peace. He looked at her with new eyes, and her beauty was warm blankets on a cold winter morning. It was home after a long journey. It wasn't a beauty to covet like Vi's. It was a beauty to share. If Vi's body was art shaped to stoke desire, Eileen's whole being was shaped to share love. Eileen had scars. Her figure was attractive, but not such as left men incapable of speech. And yet, her beauty surpassed Vi's. The intuition that had kept Kylar from Vi, even from the first time she'd tried to seduce him at the Drake Estate, suddenly crystallized. You don't share your life with a woman's body. You share your life with a woman.
Marry me, Kylar said, surprising himself.
Then, realizing that his mouth had only uttered what his whole heart longed for, he said,
Please, Eileen,
Will you marry me?
Kylar.
I know it'll have to be a secret, but it'll be real. And I want you.
Kylar.
I know this damn ring will probably keep us from making love, but we'll figure something out. And even if we don't, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you more than I want sex. I know it'll be really hard, but I mean it. We can...
Kylar, shut up.
Eline said. She smiled at the look on his face, smoothed her dress, and said, I would be honored to be your wife. For a moment, he couldn't believe it. Then, at her spreading smile and her delight in taking him off guard, light burst over a thousand hills. Somehow she was in his arms, and they were holding each other and laughing, and Eline was crying, and they were good tears. And then he kissed her, and his whole body dissolved into that point where their lips met. And her lips were soft, full, warm, inviting, moist, responsive, eager. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was the best feeling of his whole life. Right until he threw up.